I'm reading from the book of Luke today, chapter 6, and our full lesson is verses 1 to 16, but I'm reading through verse 11. One Sabbath, as Jesus was going through the wheat fields, his disciples were picking the heads of wheat, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the Sabbath law?" Jesus replied, "Haven't you read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? He broke the law by going into God's house and eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests can eat. He also gave some of the bread to his companions. Then he," that's Jesus, "said to them, 'The human one is the Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, Jesus entered a synagogue to teach. A man was there whose right hand was withered. The legal experts and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. They were looking for a reason to bring charges against him. Jesus knew their thoughts, so he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' He got up and stood there. Jesus said to the legal experts and Pharisees, 'Here's a good question for you. Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' Looking around at them, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he did, and his hand was made healthy. They were furious and began talking with each other about what to do to Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, I didn't hear anybody bring this up here in this space because I wasn't here before church, but hello, Chiefs fans. Anybody been talking about that this morning? No? No? Oh, wow. It's been buzzing everywhere. Well, I hope that next week we get to see history made, don't you?
Yes.
Is everybody excited about it? I literally, through three churches this morning, I've seen one person kind of roll their eyes like, really, football? Well, are you ready for next Sunday?
Yes. Yes.
Have you refilled your blood pressure medication? I did, after I got home. Got our blood pressure going last week, didn't they? Well, unless you've been living under a rock, there's a good chance you've heard the comments about who all is responsible for the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl. Not all of them wear red, right? What have we been hearing? Who's people? Oh, refs. We've heard ref, 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 ref. And I was really counting on Robert being here today because I'm talking about refs.
They had a lot of stuff to do before he has the Super Bowl.
I'll bet. I'll bet. Well, I'm not going to discuss all of the chatter. But the refs are the ones on the ground in sports, not just football, that keep people safe, right? They're there to make sure everybody's playing by the rules. They want everybody to be fair. They want them to be good sports, right? Now, I know that we've been hearing a lot about the refs in football this week, but we got to go to that hockey game. How many people have been to a hockey game before? Okay, a couple of you. Good deal, good deal. Juniper's, it was her second, and I just love her because, you know, I just told you she has this huge tender heart. And the first time some guy come crashing into the wall right in front of us, she goes, I was so surprised that she was like that. When are they going to put somebody in the penalty box? But those refs, you know, we didn't know the players, so we didn't have any skin in the game, right? So I was watching the refs, and they were keeping up, and John says, "I don't know how they have any fingers, because they drop that puck and those sticks come in." He's like, "You'd think they'd knock their hands right off." And they have that short wall for the players to go back and forth over. Those refs are just going back and forth on the ice, and then all of a sudden they'll jump up on the wall because they're about to get hit. I was in awe of all of their agility and their ability. But if the crowd was yelling at someone, who do you think they were yelling at? The refs. In all sports, the refs are the ones making sure everybody's good. There's a new commercial out this year for the Farmer's Dog, and I have to say who it's for because I had to go look. I've seen the commercial, never realized who it was for. Have you seen the one with the referee this year? He's out coming off of a football field, and everybody's booing and hissing, and, "Oh, ref," you know, and they're all throwing popcorn and everything, and he goes into like a ref's locker room, and they're all cleaning the stuff off that everybody's thrown at him, and gets in his car, and somebody throws a drink on his car, and all over his windshield. He turns on the radio and they're talking about refs, probably like we've been hearing this week. And he just looks so downtrodden. And he gets home, goes in his house, and his dog greets him and is excited to see him. And he goes in and is talking about how sometimes the only person you're going to please in the day as your dog. And I'm telling you all of this because the refs kind of get a bad rap, don't they? That's who everybody blames for everything. Well, as I was reading the scripture this week, and I kept trying to think about a more modern, something that we relate to, I couldn't help but think of the referees. How many of you all are experts in Jewish faith? Nope? Okay. So, a Pharisee was a little bit like a religious referee. They were business people who were spiritual, who believed in spiritual beings like angels and demons, who believed in an afterlife, and they were tasked with living in the community and watching people and making sure they were staying safe, that they were playing by the rules, that they weren't doing things that would harm one another. So if they heard that there was a new speaker in town, they would go and listen so they could know if that person was giving them sound theology or if they were leading them astray. They were trying to make sure that all the people who were out in the public were doing good things. Now, when we hear Pharisee, do we go, oh, Pharisees, or do we go, oh, it's the Pharisees? Yeah, that second one, right? Because everything we've read tends to put that bad vibe in our understanding. To say that a person who does things wrong makes the whole group of them bad, is that accurate? Probably not. Like, it'd be like saying, you know, I don't know, that girl did something that I didn't like or said something mean, so all girls are bad. Some of the Pharisees didn't get it right. And those are the ones that we read about. And so we think, oh, those Pharisees were the bad guys. In my growing up time, I always thought the Pharisees were the ones that were slinking around, sneaking and spying, and they were all out to get somebody. But really the job was to be the referees. Well, the Pharisees, these spiritual referees, in Luke 6, threw a couple of flags on Jesus' plays. Okay? There's three stories in Luke 6. The first one is the story that I read about them walking through the wheat field. The second one is when Jesus is in the synagogue. And there's a third one I didn't read. And there's a couple of reasons that it kind of comes into play. The first one is because when we read in that first story about the disciples, we're not talking about 12 because Jesus didn't appoint 12 until the third portion of chapter 6. So when we read about Jesus walking through the wheat field with the disciples, that means a whole group of people, not just 12. Now, to walk through a wheat field and pick the grains and eat them was legal. They specifically left parts of their fields not harvested so that hungry people could pick and eat. We read that in the Old Testament with Ruth and Naomi. And so them walking through the field and doing what they were doing was not an illegal thing to do. But it fell into something, as I understand, the Jewish laws. There were 39, I believe it's 39, I have to find it in here, categories of things that could not be done on the Sabbath. And all of those things were items they would do to prepare the temple for worship. So, like if Diane came here this morning and printed the bulletins while we were here, that would be working on the Sabbath because it would be preparing the temple for worship. See what I'm saying? If somebody was here baking bread for communion, that would be preparing for worship during the time that you're supposed to be worshiping. So all this was supposed to be done ahead of time. And if we were preparing and keeping our lives ready for the Sabbath so that we could simply be in God's presence on the Sabbath, then they were avoiding all of that. And they had 39 categories. And one of them was harvest. You couldn't harvest because harvest had to be done to bake the bread, right? So if you're walking through a field or if you're in your garden and you pluck a tomato and eat it, is that the same as harvesting the tomatoes? You know what I mean? It's kind of splitting hairs, isn't it? There's a little difference between a harvest and eating. So it was a little bit of a controversial call, you might say, on the part of the Pharisees. They said, why are you breaking the Sabbath? And we read that, we got to wonder to ourselves, did he break the Sabbath? Was it really a harvest? Well, Jesus doesn't talk about that to them. He talks to them about King David. And trying to figure out why he would use this particular story, because what King David had done in that story is he had actually gone into the temple and he told a little bit of a fib in order to get the bread. Because they weren't supposed to give away things. We read that in the Old Testament too, right? The writing on the wall, because people were using things that they weren't meant to be used, things that were consecrated. So he was using bread that was consecrated in a way it wasn't supposed to be used. But what he did is he went in and he said, well, the king needs this. And they, oh, the king, well, here you go. But that wasn't really the truth. Because David was not yet king. And he was actually running away from the king because the king was threatening his life. So it was a bit of a lie. So when it says David broke the law, yes, he did something he wasn't supposed to with the bread, but he also told a lie. Why would Jesus tell that story? Because that's kind of a bad example. Yeah, they were eating because they needed it. Well, I wondered, as I was listening to my Bible Worm this week, if the reason Jesus used that is because at the time, the people didn't recognize who David was. He was king and he was anointed, but they didn't know it yet. And I feel like maybe that's a little something that Jesus was trying to get across to them too, was he was Jesus and he too was anointed, but they didn't know it yet. The religious referees were concerned with the rules, and Jesus wasn't sure if they were focused on the right thing. So in the second portion then, there's another flag thrown on another play. This time, on another Sabbath, Jesus is in the synagogue to teach. His purpose is made clear. They may not have known who he was, but he was at least there to be teaching and to set an example. We see a man in this scripture that says he's there. He has a bad right hand. We might touch on that Thursday in Bible study, because there's a whole lot of thought about his right hand being what was not working. In this replay that we read in the scripture, we don't see the man ask Jesus for anything. We don't see the man ask for anything. We don't see the man speak. We don't see him laying by the door asking for alms. He doesn't seem to be suffering. We just know there's a guy. He's there. His hand isn't working. And it says that Jesus was there to teach. But he also knew that there were people watching him. Now we know why they were watching him, right? They were watching him to see if he was a good person, leading people in good ways. While they're watching, and Jesus says to the man, get up and stand in front of everybody. Jesus doesn't continue speaking to the man. He turns his attention to the Pharisees. We don't see him examine the hand. We don't see him make a potion and put it on the hand. We don't see him spit in the dirt and rub it. He doesn't do anything in an effort to touch the guy. So, did he break a rule? Kind of like the harvest, right? We're not sure if there would have been the right call to suggest that he did break the Sabbath. Well, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees saying, is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And there's a whole lot of conversation, and we can assume that Jesus is talking about mercy, which we'll kind of get back to. But I also wonder if Jesus was asking them about their intentions towards him. He knew what they were thinking. He knew why they were there. Are you here to save a life, meaning the people, or to destroy the life, meaning his? I wonder if he was asking a deeper question. But again, the Pharisees were so focused on the rules that they missed the whole purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is to restore. The Sabbath is to heal. The Sabbath is to bring people closer to God and to one another. And Jesus challenges them by saying, are you here to uphold goodness, or are you using the law as an excuse to do harm? And of course, I've asked this question before, and I'll ask again. Since the Pharisees were there and watching Jesus doing their jobs, were they not also working on the Sabbath? Was their effort to trap Jesus a violation of their own rules? And if so, what did that tell about their priorities? So was Jesus maybe asking them, are you here to make sure that I'm actually being good, or are you up to something that's not? Jesus questions the motives and abilities and the accuracy of the job being done by the Pharisees, of the religious referees. At verse 11, the Pharisees get mad that Jesus is questioning them. Do we get mad when people question us when we're doing our job? Maybe. You don't know what I know. Isn't that what I heard today? In this moment, Jesus questions the ref. And yes, true enough, they were probably underappreciated, probably unjustly associated with negativity. I'm sure that most of them did their job with pure heart and intent, but sometimes all of us are guilty of not being pure of heart and intent. It's easy to sit back and critique, just like we do after a game, where we have instant replay, pause, slow motion, and we can assess what really happened. You know what? We also have that with our scripture. Our scripture is like rewind, pause, slow-mo. What was happening there, and how can we apply it today? Worthy Pharisees applying their understanding. They didn't appear to be doing anything in the scene in the temple. When Jesus questions their motives, I wonder a little bit to myself if he's asking them, well, why didn't you guys help this guy? So what rules, friends, do we concern ourselves or distract ourselves with regarding faith? Are the rules that we decide to enforce bringing life to others, drawing them closer to God, maintaining goodness, or are we only maintaining tradition? Are we engaging in worship and service in a way that is doing active good? Or are we standing by watching and then critiquing others rather than rolling up our sleeves? See, Jesus wasn't just talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to us. And the question isn't whether or not the Pharisees or the referees get it right or wrong. The question is, are we focused on what is right? And are we doing good? So I put out a challenge this week to everybody, and I'm so glad that we have bulletins. I challenge you to make sure you have a bulletin. Take it home with you. Look through everything on the bulletin, not just the worship, but I do invite you to look at the worship, because I was thinking, I often say, how can we be doing good? What can we be doing? And we all go, well, I don't really know. And so sometimes we get stuck there. So I invite you to take this home. Have a pencil. Be ready to take notes on it. Look at everything we do during our 60 sacred minutes and ask of each thing in here, does this bring life? Does this do something good? I think we'll have lots to celebrate there. But even when we do, might we ask, can we do it even better? Can we make it even more impactful? Can I be part of it? And then, don't stop there, look at the back. There are names, there are people who need prayer. When we look at the prayer list, what might we do to roll up our sleeves instead of standing by and expecting Jesus to do all the healing? Who can we reach out to? As we look at our announcements and things coming up, same questions. Is this bringing life? Is it doing good? And we can make notes and say, yes, and this is how. And we can share those, by the way. Those are called testimony. But we can also say, how can we grow it even more? How can we do something even more? How can I roll up my sleeves and be a part of all of this? At the end of the day, I don't think that we really are happy standing on the sidelines. I don't think that we all just want to be armchair officials. I think we would rather be in the game and living out the love of Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, Lord of the Sabbath, we come today thankful. We are thankful that we have your mercy. We are thankful that your scripture challenges us, that as we read it, it's easy to point fingers and say, well, the Pharisees were doing this or they weren't doing that. It turns the tables on us a little bit when we go, and so do we. We are like them, and they are like us. So, Lord, we're thankful for your grace. We are thankful that we have time to draw nearer to you on this Sabbath, to seek your guidance as we head into the next week. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've been distracted by our own traditions and rules, the times that we've been too distracted to see if we're really doing things for the right reasons and bringing life to the community. Lord, we are sorry for the times that we doubt your wisdom and authority. So as we go into the future, Lord, bless us, love us, heal us, and inspire us. Give us energy to do the work, to be a part of the game. We come to you both thankful, Lord, and humble. Amen.